We are in a series. This is actually the second week. Woo-hoo, we're making progress. In a sermon series, a new sermon series in the book of Acts. So, in fact, I'm going to go ahead and ask you, if you would, turn in your Bibles, find the book of Acts, chapter 1. And as we open God's Word, let's open our hearts to hear from Him this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, most gracious God, this is Your living Word. It is truth. We pray that You have promised to send us Your Holy Spirit who will guide and lead us into all truth. So we call for that Spirit to fall fresh on us, to fill us, to lead us, to guide us. What we hear today that is from You, may that Spirit apply it to our hearts that we might live in obedience to it. Father, if I say anything that is amiss, may Your Spirit cause it to fall on deaf ears. For Your glory we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Last week we saw that our faith is in fact rooted in history. It's not just a bunch of myths or fables spliced together to form some kind of man-made moral framework that we should live by. No, it is based on the person and work of Jesus Christ, whose identity, message, and mission are clearly established in verifiable historical records. We also said that God, who worked through the early church, is still at work in the affairs of human history today through His church. What Jesus began to do and teach, He continues through His church. And when I say His church, I mean you and me. Followers of Jesus Christ who gather together representing the body of Christ in this particular location. God, who worked through the New Testament church, is still at work and wants to complete His work in this world through you. So I asked last week, are you committed to God's work through His church? And then I concluded last week's message with this statement. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we as His church are obediently to continue to do and teach what our Lord Jesus began. And the key phrase in that statement was by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that brings us back to Acts chapter 1, where we are going to pick up here at verse 3. Here in verse 3, we read, He, that is Jesus, presented Himself alive to them after suffering, that is His crucifixion, His death, burial, and resurrection, by many proofs. He appeared to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Now, this is the only place in Scripture that we find any indication of how long Jesus ministered to His disciples after His resurrection and before His ascension, before He went back up into heaven where He is now seated at the right hand of the Father. During this time, He gave His disciples many proofs, or as another translation puts it, many convincing proofs. The word that's used here for proof is used only here in the New Testament, and it carries with it the ideal of undisputable, perceptible evidence, as opposed to, say, the evidence of some witness that is given. In other words, Jesus' resurrection was proven by touch, sight, and feel. The disciples and the early believers verified the resurrection with all of their senses. It wasn't just hearsay. They saw Him, they touched Him, they heard Him. One proof was the visible. He presented Himself alive. He appeared repeatedly to them. Scripture tells us that just on that first Easter Sunday, Jesus was evident to at least five different times to different groups of people. Over the course of the next 40 days between Easter and His ascension, we see at least 10 specific instances where Jesus is present and ministering to His disciples. One time, He's actually present in front of as many as 500 people. If His appearance had been just a one-shot deal, maybe just one or two people saw Him, we could come to the conclusion that, well, it's just a vision, or maybe there was mass hallucination and they all just wanted to see it. But there were multiple appearances, some to individuals, but some to whole groups. And not just one day, but over periods of time. And during these 40 days, Jesus spoke to his disciples about the kingdom of God. In general, the kingdom of God refers to God's sovereign rule over all. But more specifically, here, the kingdom refers to the realm where God actually rules. In the Old Testament, God's kingdom was manifest through his elect nation, the nation of Israel. To the degree where they were actually following God, God was the rule there, was in control there. That reached its climax in the history of Israel through the kingdom of David and early years of Solomon. And David and Solomon were types of the reign of the Messiah king to come. The kingdom of God was most evident here on earth, though, when Christ himself lived here in his earthly form. And he proclaimed, the kingdom of God is at hand. And we know that one day Jesus will return to establish his kingdom here on earth. He will rule over all the earth. In fact, that's why, if you skip down to verse 6 and 7, you see here the disciples say, so when they heard, had come together, they asked him, the disciples said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Once again, the disciples are thinking about this kingdom of God in terms of earthly kingdoms. But Jesus says to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. He doesn't correct their question. In a sense, it's a good question. He is coming back to reign here on earth. He just let them know that, look, it's not yours to know when. But until then, friends, you should be busy doing my mission, doing my work. Right now, in this present age, the kingdom of God is spiritually manifest when Christ reigns in the hearts of his people, when Christ reigns in his church. When we truly repent and believe in Jesus Christ and accept by faith what he did on the cross in our place, we believe in him as our Lord, King, and Savior. Christ now reigns as King in our hearts. And this is the message of the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his kingdom rule in the hearts of his people that is the foundation of our work for the Lord. We must proclaim to people that Jesus died for their sins, that he was raised from the dead, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father, and that he is coming again in power to reign over the earth. But right now, the kingdom of God is at hand. Right now, the kingdom of God is at hand when in our hearts we have submitted to him as our king. Acts 1:8 will go on to tell us that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So this is our message, the resurrected Lord and Savior, and this is our mission, to take this message to the end of the earth until the end of this age. But how do we do this? How do we accomplish this daunting task? I know I'm not up for it, certainly not by myself. We need the power factor. We need the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Look back up at verse 4. In verse 4, we read this, and while staying with them, he ordered them, that is, Jesus ordered the disciples, he gave them ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise. The Father, this is the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit, which he said, you heard me. And back in the Gospels, we find the account of Jesus telling them about the promised coming of the Holy Spirit. For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now remember, last week I mentioned that Acts is a transitional book. That is, it covers this period of time when God is shifting from using the nation of Israel as his primary witness to the world to when he starts to use the church to be that primary witness. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon men and women for specific periods of time to accomplish specific tasks. And when that task was completed, or if that person sinned or rebelled against God, then God would remove the Spirit from that person. But for us today, the Spirit works just a little different. One of the blessings of the salvation that we have in Christ is that you and I, at the moment of our salvation, were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God has taken up permanent residence within us. And it is the Spirit of God who gives us the power we need to live out our Christian faith and to fulfill God's mission of taking His message to the end of the earth. And we see it here in Acts 1:4, where Jesus is reminding His disciples that the promised Holy Spirit is coming on them. And then skip down to verse 8 again, where Jesus goes on to tell His disciples that when this happens, when this promise comes, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you, in this power, will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Note the connection here. Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. You will witness. But what will you witness and give testimony to? You will witness and give testimony to that the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is willing to forgive and remove all your sin and set up His kingdom in your heart. What is your mission? Take that message first to Jerusalem and all Judea. That would be like for us saying we're going to take it to Savannah and Bailey Lakes and Ashland and maybe Ashland County. And maybe we're going to do some significant work and maybe join some other churches to make sure that all of Ohio hears this message of salvation. And then it goes on as you're going to take this witness to Samaria. And that would be kind of like what the youth group did this summer going to Baltimore. We were in our own country and they kind of spoke the same language where we were, but it was definitely a different cultural area, a different community than what we're used to here in Ashland, Ohio. It was out of our comfort zone. And that's the Samaria that we're supposed to go to. We're supposed to take this message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who died on the cross and is offered us this power of God to those who are distant from us culturally and economically and racially. And finally, we are to be witnesses to the end of the earth. That's why we support missionaries like the Tabiendos and the Panagios or taking the gospel message to different countries. That's why we sent a team early this year down to Dominican Republic to be a witness to this resurrected Lord and Savior. But it's also why we support ministries like the MAP Ministries who are reaching Formish Amish community and the Ruby serving up in Cleveland, reaching out to ministering to Jewish community. Geographically, these groups are close, but they are culturally very different from us, very distant from us. Okay, so the message is clear. Jesus Christ, Him crucified, raised again on the third day. The mission is clear. Tell everybody. But the power to make it happen comes from the Holy Spirit. You know, I think about all the sermons I've heard, all the lectures I've sat in, all the seminary classes I endured. I mean, I was part of. I've even attended a Bible study after Bible study. But you know, in all of that, there was something missing. I've heard sermons and studies about the message, about the gospel message. I was planning to be a missionary in Mongolia. I understand, you know, strategy and the mission that we're supposed to accomplish and how can we go about doing that in a technical sense. But I haven't really heard a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. And maybe part of it is because, yeah, there's some groups that overemphasize maybe the Holy Spirit, or maybe they take certain aspects of the Holy Spirit and really hone in on those. And so sometimes out of a reactionary kind of standpoint, because of abuses over here, we're going to go way over here. And what's happened is I've kind of come up in a culture where it's like, yeah, we believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and we don't really mention the Holy Spirit much. And we leave Him out. And yet, Jesus makes it clear And if we're going to be faithful to the message, if we're going to be faithful to the mission that he's given us as his church, we can't do it with good strategies. We can't do it with good lectures and sermon series. We can only do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So what do we know about the Holy Spirit? It's so important that we understand this. Jesus makes it clear. He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the Spirit to come upon them. So here's what I'd like to do, just real quickly. I just want to look at a couple verses in Acts. So hang with me. We're going to stick in Acts. But I'm just going to look at a couple verses of how the Holy Spirit worked in the New Testament, in the new church, in the New Testament church. Now remember, it's transitional, so we have to be careful. Understanding what is descriptive, just describing what took place then, and as opposed to what's prescriptive, what's to continue on. But the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday and tomorrow. So is Jesus Christ and his message, and so is God the Father. To begin with, just back up real quick to Acts 1:2. Remember, verses 1 and 2 kind of serve as a summary statement, an introduction to the whole of the message. It serves as a summary statement stating everything that kind of happened between the crucifixion and the ascension. But listen to this. Jesus had given commands. How? Jesus had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Jesus' whole life is a testimony to his dependence upon and obedience to the Holy Spirit. Jesus was fully God and at the same time fully man. And as a man, he was dependent and obedient to the power of the Holy Spirit working through him for his whole life, from his conception to the crucifixion, from his leading out to the desert where he was tempted, and began his public ministry until till the last breath he took. It was the Holy Spirit that he depended on for guidance and leading and the power to work out his mission and message that God the Father had given him. In fact, Paul, you don't need to turn there. Paul will tell us in Romans 8:11 that it was the Holy Spirit that was part of the resurrection. It says in Romans 8:11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and think about that, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The same power of the Spirit of God who dwells in Christ, who rose him from the dead, dwells in you and seeks to empower you to carry out this mission and message of Jesus Christ. In other words, you have been made spiritually alive. And that Spirit now dwells permanently with an ongoing power in you if we learn to yield to and listen to and remain obedient to that Spirit. You have access to the same Spirit that Jesus did. So when Jesus commands you to do the things that he did, we can do it. But we can only do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, real quick. Here in Acts chapter 2, we find a very first time of the Holy Spirit taking up this permanent residence on the believers. It's the day of Pentecost. And up until this point, as I said, the Spirit would move upon people, but it wasn't permanent. Here is a shift. It's a change. Now, we're going to hit this chapter hard in a couple weeks, but I just wanted you to look real quick at verse 4. In verse 4, it says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As I said, we're going to hit this hard in a couple weeks, but right now I just want you to know that the Spirit of God equips each one of us to fulfill our role in carrying out the mission and message of Jesus Christ. That not only has he given you new life, not only has he given you the power that you need, he's equipping you with specific gifts and talents that he wants to use as your part of the body of Christ. Verse 4:7, we see the religious leaders taking the apostle Peter into prison, trying to, what's going on here? What are you preaching about this guy? Verse 8, or verse 7, I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 7, the religious leaders ask, by what power or what by what name do you do these things? In verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. And then at this point, Peter launches into this profound, theologically deep message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet we know that Peter was a working class fisherman. In fact, if you skip down to verse 13 and look at the response of the leaders, and they hear this fisherman, this commoner, given this gospel deep message, that they look at him in verse 13, and now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, blown away by what the Spirit of God was doing in and through them. And they recognize, I love this. This is my favorite of all scriptures. And they recognize that they had been with Jesus. When people look at you, do they recognize that you have been with Jesus? May God help that be true. They were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And when they stood before these religious leaders, they allowed the Spirit of God to work through them and speak through them. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those kind of people. I can get in a conversation with somebody and things will be going 5 minutes after it's too late. That's what I should have said. You know, it dawns on me. Oh, yeah, I should have said that. You know, we need to, yes, I mean, I'm going to get up here. I have my sermon notes. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to study for the sermon. And I'm going to try to come prepared for this. I need that. I need to be free to do that. But I also need to be willing to let the Spirit of God say, I'm taking you in a little bit different direction. You need to go that way. We need to study. Back when I first became a Christian, one of the first things that I was told to do was to memorize the Romans Road. So many of you probably know the Romans Road. It's a series of verses through the book of Romans that you could take somebody through, and if you follow these verses, you could explain the gospel message to someone. Now, I memorized a set pattern for that. And now, years later, I still use that basic pattern most of the time when I'm witnessing somebody. I've never said it verbatim the way I memorized it, except for the mentor who was discipling me and made me repeat it back to him every week for 6 weeks. But it became a framework, a foundation upon which then I could be freed up, that when I'm in a conversation, I listen with both ears. With one ear, I'm listening to the person I'm talking to because I want to hear what they're saying. I want to hear the questions they're giving. I want to make sure that they're getting it. And if they have objections, I want to hear what they're saying and where their heart is. And with the other ear, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit so that I can understand what the Spirit now wants me to say and how the Spirit wants me to respond to this person. So I'm not trying to figure it out, because if I try to figure it out, I'll mess it up. But if I am true submission and dependence upon the Holy Spirit, yes, I have spent time with Jesus. I have spent time in His Word. I have committed His Word to my heart and memory. I have prayed and spent time in repentance so that when God blesses me with that opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, to preach to them in a sense, I'm prepared that way. But I'm never going to be self-reliant. I got this, God. I can do it. Whew, I can't. It is the power of God working through the Holy Spirit who blesses us and gives us the responsibility as His church, the body of Christ now represented here, to be His human vessel through which the Holy Spirit now works to continue to do what Jesus did, to proclaim the message that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died on the cross, rose again on the third day, that if you put your faith in Him, and if you repent from your sins and turn from your ways, that Christ will give you new life, everlasting life, eternal life in Him and Him alone, and the Holy Spirit will now dwell within you, and that Spirit will give you the power to live equipped, holy, and righteous as Christ would want you to live, growing ever and ever closer to Him until that day that Christ will return for you through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can live that out in such a way that people will look at you and say, you've spent time with Jesus, and I think I like what I see. I think I want to get to know him. Yeah, your life may be a mess sometimes, but there's some joy that the Holy Spirit gives you. There's a peace in your life that the Holy Spirit gives you. There's power and confidence in the way you deal with life struggles that the Holy Spirit gives you. You're spending time with Jesus. Are you committed to his message and his mission? Are you willing to walk in obedience, listening to the Holy Spirit, responding to the Holy Spirit? I want to look at one last verse. Acts chapter 1. Back where we started. Let's pick up at verse 9. Verse 9 begins, "And when he," that is Jesus, "said these things," when he gave them his final words, "as they were looking up, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking up into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him going into heaven.'" Why do you sit there looking up? This same Jesus has given you the same Spirit. He has given you the same message. He has given you the same mission that he has given his followers for centuries. We need to rise up and tap in to the Holy Spirit and to the power that he gives us and take the message of the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to our neighbors and to the end of the earth until the end of this time. And may we, by his power, be found faithful. Lord Jesus, we thank you, we praise you for your grace and your mercy, for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I know there is much confusion with the comes to this topic of the Holy Spirit, but your Spirit brings clarity and truth. And may in your power we be found faithful to your message and to your mission. We ask in Christ's name, amen.